When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The second half of the summer. Welcome in. Time to wake up and get going. I've noticed that since I filled in on this early morning shift a few times, I've noticed that you really got to get into kind of a groove, right? Kind of a routine. Because I went to bed last night at like 8 o'clock, figuring, all right, I'll go to bed at 8 o'clock. That way I'll fall asleep earlier than I normally do. No. I still didn't fall asleep until midnight. And then I woke up at 2 in the morning thinking, gee, I got to get up in a couple of hours. So I don't know. I'm working on like maybe 3 hours, something like that. So forgive me. I might have to take a nap later. I'm not so sure. But it's a great shift. I'm always happy when I get here. It's just when that alarm goes off. I set it today at 4:45 a.m. Just not used to that yet. But I know a lot of people out there work early all the time. So I don't mean to complain. And there's a lot of people up and about and ready to go. And off you go, and you do that all the time. So I just want to say that I'm getting a little feel of that. But it's a lot of fun. Great to be here on WBSM, and hopefully we have a few things that we can discuss throughout the morning. I have a number of issues I wanted to put on the table, and this came up actually kind of interesting right after the feast was done. So the first question is, did you go to the feast? I know it's already 4 days since the feast concluded, the 108th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament up at Madeira Field. I really enjoyed it. I go every year. Had a lot of fun. Ran into people that I haven't seen in a while. People saying hello. I had a lot of people tell me that they heard me fill in here on WBSM. So I know the audience is definitely big out there, because every time I fill in, I get a lot of people telling me that they heard me fill in. Then I went to a 70th birthday party for my good friend and co-announcer over there in Dartmouth, Jim Thompson, and I think 4 or 5 times I heard people say, hey, heard you on the radio, keep up the good work over there, nice to hear a different voice, and so on. So I know we got a good-sized audience out there, so we're very happy to hear that. But as far as the feast is concerned, you know, I was up at the feast having a great time, had linguica, had casserla, had my malasadas that I brought home. And I have to tell you, one of the things that came up at the feast, the last time I was on the radio, was that people tend to smoke marijuana out in the open. They're not very cautious about it. They're not very conservative about it. They're kind of brash about it. They just walk around and smoke marijuana out in the open. Now, it doesn't bother me. I don't get too upset about that. But then somebody called the last time I was on the radio here and was complaining about the fact that all around New Bedford, since marijuana became legal here in Massachusetts, all you smell is marijuana everywhere. And then I started thinking, you know, I think that caller is right. And it's not just New Bedford, because I spend a lot of time in Boston where my oldest son Dylan lives. Dylan used to be here on WBSM actually in the news department for a little while, a couple of years back. Well, I like to go to the Bruins games. I like to go to the Celtics games. I like to go to Fenway, watch the Red Sox. So you're walking around there, and every once in a while, not every once in a while, quite a bit, you smell marijuana. Here in New Bedford, went to 50s night, big success, Joe Jesus, the whole thing, smelled marijuana there a couple of times. Went to the fireworks on the 4th of July, nice success there in downtown New Bedford, smelled marijuana there. So I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be smoking marijuana out in the open. You're supposed to smoke it in the comfort of your own home, so to speak. You can grow it in your own home with limits. And that's the way you're supposed to do it. Now, if you have a medical marijuana card, the rules are slightly different. But even then, you still can't smoke marijuana out in the open. So should we be enforcing that more? Should we be telling our police, hey, you know, you smell marijuana, go over there, tell the person to shut it off, or they could be arrested? Should we be aggressive about that? Or should we say, well, you know what? There are bigger fish to fry. The police should be focusing on more serious crime. Maybe we shouldn't make a big deal about that. What do you think about that? Do we have any potheads out there that want to weigh in? I know it's only 6:15 in the morning, so maybe a little too early to deal with that, but it's one issue that I wanted to bring up. The other one is the happy hour. You know, the happy hour failed. They were trying to bring the happy hour back to Massachusetts while we're on the subject of substances that can intoxicate you. You know, back in the 80s when I came of age, they had the happy hours. They even had Race the Clock, where over at the old Alhambra's, you could get a drink at 25 cents at 8 p.m. And then at 9 p.m. it went to 50 cents and 10 p.m. it went to 75 cents. And by the time you got to 11 o'clock, everybody was hammered. And the drinking age was 18. So they put the drinking age back to 21 and they got rid of the happy hour and it's been gone ever since. But Massachusetts is the last state left that does not have a happy hour. I know when we go to Florida on vacation, it's nice in a way that they have the happy hour. We don't go specifically for the happy hour. But if we go out to dinner, the drinks are reduced during that period of time. And one caller said, hey, that helps business. Gets people off the couch. Gets people out to have dinner that ordinarily wouldn't. And that's not going to necessarily make people drink more. Well, what do you think about that? Obviously, we are 48 hours, not even 48 hours past the time that Vice President Kamala Harris elected Tim Walz to be her running mate. And already there is a lot of vicious things being tossed back and forth. Is it a little bit too negative? I still think it's too negative. You know, going after the man's military service, and I mean, they could and have criticized him, and it's certainly open for debate about how quickly he responded to the riots after the George Floyd incident. So that's certainly open to be debated. But to criticize the man's military service, I don't know. I think that's a bridge too far. You know, my dad was a Korean War veteran, and he was proud to be a veteran. And really, you know, Abraham Lincoln said, divide and conquer. I mean, we're all on the same side here in the end. So, you know, I would caution people to refrain from that a little bit. There was something on WBSM.com, Forever 21. There was a criticism of Forever 21 not catering to the plus size shopper. And Forever 21 is saying, well, wait a minute, that's not really true. Well, it's up to Forever 21 who they want to service. What about that? In Ohio, the law which prohibits puberty blockers from being given to minors has been upheld by the Ohio Supreme Court, going to go to the National Supreme Court. I've given my views on that before. I do not believe that puberty blockers should be given to a minor, even if the doctor recommends it, even if the parents are on board with it. It doesn't just happen at the snap of a finger. I understand that. I've had arguments with my liberal friends that say, well, if the parents think it's the right thing, if the kid thinks it's the right thing, if a doctor has examined the kid and everybody thinks it's the right thing, then they should, as a family, be able to do it. The government should stay out of the way, so to speak. But I don't know, because that kid could grow up and then decide, wait a minute, I disagree with the doctor. I disagree with my own parents. And then sometimes what has happened is irreversible. So I'd have to hear somebody give a real good argument before I'd be open to be persuaded. And I always like to pride myself by saying I am open to be persuaded. Some people are never open to be persuaded. They have a side and that's it. I like to say, well, wait a minute, I am open to be persuaded. So I would definitely need to be persuaded on that one. West Nile virus, keep an eye out for those mosquitoes. Because once we head into the fall, it's already starting. It's only August. Triple E can be very harmful. So make sure you protect yourself. And I was reading, you know, that if you are consuming alcohol, let's say you have 3 drinks. Apparently, according to some medical providers and people who have actually done studies on this, if you have 3 drinks, if you have any amount of drinks, but they said 3 drinks, the mosquitoes like you more. In other words, you get bitten 20% more because the mosquitoes can kind of taste the alcohol in your blood and they like it. Yeah, the mosquitoes like alcohol. That's interesting. So if you're out there and there are mosquitoes and you're having a couple of drinks, protect yourself, especially from Triple E. We also heard about Taylor Swift having to cancel a concert, a number of concerts, three of them actually, because of threats of violence. Very, very unfortunate. Now our world has turned into even someone like Taylor Swift, whether you like her music or you don't. Somebody like that is bringing happiness to so many people. Now she's canceling concerts because she's concerned about the threat of violence. How unfortunate that is. And then the Karen Reed case, you heard Phil mention before about how there's a motion to dismiss those two counts where the jurors said that they had agreed on a not guilty. It was only the motor vehicle homicide. I believe there was a hung jury. So the judge has to decide that. But the thing that concerns me as an attorney for the past 38 years, I've been saying 35, but then I forgot the 3 years went by since I started saying 35. It's going to be 38 years since I've been an attorney. And I was a prosecutor, did criminal defense, housing court, different types of law I do now, but I began my career as a prosecutor and then spent the next 15 primarily doing criminal defense. And the only thing that bothers me about that is, why would you be protesting outside of the courthouse? Are you trying to influence the judge's decision? Are you trying to influence the jury's decision? The jury is supposed to be impartial. The judge is supposed to be following the law. The judge isn't supposed to be influenced by how many people are ranting and raving outside. So I think that worries me a little bit. It's not supposed to be the mob that decides. It's supposed to be the judge following the law that decides. So what about that? I don't like that. I don't like when there are protests outside of a court proceeding in general, because I think that, again, the judge is supposed to follow the law, read the law, follow the law, presumably has studied the law, graduated from law school, practiced, knows a lot about the law, became a judge, and now is going to follow the law. It doesn't mean I don't disagree with judges. It happens all the time. But that is the goal. And then as far as a jury, jurors are picked from the community. They are questioned to make sure that they are impartial. They're then put on the jury. Both sides get to participate in the selection of that jury. Both sides have an opportunity to challenge those jurors and toss off jurors that they don't like. And then at the very end, the judge makes the determination that that jury is impartial and that both sides are content with the jury that's before them. So why is there a mob outside trying to influence that jury? And are the jurors going to be afraid to render the decision that they really believe because there's a mob outside? I don't think that's a good idea. I definitely don't think that's a good idea. Well, anyway, the Patriots are back, and all the games this season are right here on WBSM. The Patriots kick off the season tonight when they host the Carolina Panthers. Can you believe that? Patriots already? Is Drake May really the future? Can the Patriots defense carry them to a winning record? That's optimistic. And how will Gerard Mayo handle stepping into the role of head coach? You've heard all the questions. Now it's time for the answers. Patriots-Panthers tonight here on WBSM. Again, kickoff at 7 p.m. with pregame beginning at 4 p.m. Listen to the Patriots all season long right here on 1420 a.m. and 99.5 FM WBSM. It's Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. Good morning. Get going. It's the morning shift here at WBSM. In addition to being an attorney, I've also had the great joy of doing a lot of different things in broadcasting over the years, sports play-by-play, my television show, the Paul Santos Live Show. Also DJing. Yes, I was a DJ back in the day, playing top 40 type music, more like light top 40, what they used to call adult contemporary, on a radio station called WMYS. Yes, that's right. A lot of fun those days. And of course, DJing in nightclubs in the area like Smugglers, and also doing weddings and things like that. So a lot of fun playing the music here to get up and get rolling here at WBSM. 6:26 in the morning. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. Brought up a couple of issues here I wanted to talk about. One of them was the people complaining that there's too much marijuana smoking in public. Have you noticed that? Well, it turns out that some people have medical marijuana cards and some people that don't. And as far as medical marijuana, qualifying patients over 18 years of age must be approved by a physician and a certified document by the state before legally allowed to possess up to a 60-day supply of marijuana. Massachusetts law allows registered medical marijuana patients to grow up to 12 flowering and 12 vegetative cannabis plants in the home for personal use. They cannot use medical marijuana in any form, including smoking, vaping, or eating in public places or on federal land. A landlord cannot get into trouble by allowing medical or marijuana consumption on their property. If you're visiting from another state, you must be 21 years or older or present a valid government-issued ID to purchase cannabis or cannabis-based products from an adult-use marijuana establishment in Massachusetts. So there are a number of different laws, but one of them is that you are absolutely not supposed to be walking around in public smoking marijuana. And you do smell it everywhere. So what about that? Should we enforce that more? Should we ask our law enforcement officials to say, hey, if you're walking down the street, Mr. Police Officer, and you see somebody puffing on marijuana, should you stop and either arrest the person or at least ask them to put it out? It doesn't bother me, I have to tell you. It doesn't bother me. Now, some people say the marijuana that you have there now smells like skunk. Well, that could be. That might be. I don't know. I don't smell it like that. But some people say it smells different than back in the old days. But as far as it bothering me when I'm walking down the street, not really. It doesn't bother me. I remember smelling it at 50s night. I remember smelling it at the feast. I remember smelling it at the fireworks. I can recall smelling it just randomly walking down the street. And not just New Bedford. This is everywhere. I'm in Boston quite a bit, as I said. My older son lives in Boston. I like to go to the Red Sox games. I like to go to the Bruins games and the Celtics games and just go up and visit my grandson and so forth. And anytime you're in a crowd and you're walking down the street, somebody's lighting up. That's just the way it is. What do you think about that? I'm really interested to know what you might be thinking about that particular subject. All right, it's the bottom of the hour. I believe that is news time, and we're going to go right over to the other studio and say, let's say hello to Phil at Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
President Biden gives his first interview since dropping out of the race. Tropical Storm Debbie churning its way up the East Coast, and Americans have a stark view of the healthcare system.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden is giving his first interview since he decided to drop out of the 2024 election. He sat down with CBS News' Robert Costa at the White House yesterday for that interview. It'll air in full on CBS News Sunday morning this weekend. Meanwhile, Vice President Harris's campaign is up to $36 million in fundraising dollars. She announced Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. The Minnesota Supreme Court is upholding the year-old law restoring the right to vote to felons upon their release from prison. This was a measure pushed by Governor Tim Walz, who's now the VP pick of the Democratic Party. The High Court rejected a challenge to the 2023 law by the Minnesota Voters Alliance. Tropical Storm Debbie has made landfall in South Carolina. It's the second landfall this week for the storm that first roared ashore Monday morning in Florida's Big Bend area as a Category 1 hurricane. The National Hurricane Center confirms Debbie made landfall overnight in South Carolina, just about 20 miles northeast of Charleston, with maximum sustained wind speeds of 50 miles per hour. The storm has already been blamed for at least 6 deaths this week. A year after the deadly Lahaina wildfire that claimed over 100 lives, Maui's tourism numbers are still significantly low. The most recent data from the Hawaii Tourism Authority shows visitor arrivals down 22% this summer compared to 2023. After the wildfires, officials told visitors to stay away from West Maui, but many opted to stay away from the entire island, which has had a major economic impact. The head of J.P. Morgan Chase says there still might be a recession. CEO Jamie Dimon spoke to CNBC on Wednesday. and said he still believes the odds of a soft landing for the U.S. economy are around 35-40%, making a recession a likely scenario. And most Americans have an unfavorable view of the U.S. healthcare system. That's according to a new YouGov poll that shows 53% of Americans have a very or somewhat unfavorable view of the system. Men tend to have a more positive view of it than women, and straight people tend to have a more positive view than LGBTQ plus people, according to the poll.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost to the Royals in Kansas City last night, 8-4. They return home to host the Houston Astros tomorrow, and the Patriots taking the field for their preseason opener, New England hosting the Carolina Panthers tonight at Gillette Stadium. Now, your ABC 6 forecast brought to you by SeaStreak. Today, we start cool with temperatures in the 50s. Throughout the day, expect a blend of sun and clouds with a chance of a late-day shower, highs near 75. Friday, lots of clouds, humidity climbing as tropical air enters the region, and we'll have a chance of showers and thunderstorms through Saturday. Heavy rain to start the weekend on Saturday, still very humid. The rain clears for Sunday, pleasant weather, sunny and warm with highs near 80. Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Had to get at least one Tavares song in this morning. Just special moments there, thinking back to the 70s and early 80s when Tavares just went crazy. They didn't call it going viral back then, but they really hit it big. Grammy Award winners, and you hear Chubby Tavares doing the lead on that song, Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel. And when they named the street after Tavares a couple of weeks back, I had the good fortune of going down there, catching up with Chubby, and he's in his early 80s now, retired. His last concert was at the Zeiterion Theater, I believe it was about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, which I attended, which was just terrific. And he talked about how he doesn't travel much anymore, but there was no way he was not going to make it up here to New Bedford for the changing of the name of that street, Griffin Court, to Tavares Brothers Way. And that sign is going to be hanging over Route 18 as you go down Route 18. And what a great honor for the brothers Tavares. Hey, it's Paul Santos in for Tim this morning. Glad to have you aboard here, 6:35 in the morning. And let's go to our first phone call of the morning and say good morning. You're on WBSM. Okay, hello? Hello there, let me see here. Hello? Let's see, try this. Good morning. Okay, let's see. This says phone. All right. If that person could call back, because I am pushing this button and I am turning the volume up, but for some reason you weren't there. So give us a call, 508-996-0500, and I'd be glad to talk to you, especially this early in the morning. Somebody has to be first. So if you were on hold there and you were waiting, and you waited actually through the news and everything else, and then when it was time for me to put you on, something went awry. So I'm looking at this button right here. It is lit up, and the volume is up. So if the next person calls and you don't get on, then I'm going to go ask for help. But right now, I think everything is in order. So give us a call, 508-996-0500. One of the topics I was talking about was marijuana. In the open. Let's try this. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, I don't know what happened, but hi, Paul.
How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. Yeah, it's early in the morning. I was playing some national anthems on my TV earlier. I love the Canadian national anthem and the Russian one also.
Mm-hmm.
They have beautiful national anthems. And, of course, our Star Spangled Banner.
Of course, of course. And, you know, being a hockey fan when I was a young kid, I got to hear the Canadian national anthem quite a bit when the Bruins played Montreal Canadiens or Toronto Maple Leafs. I really like theirs. This is a beautiful one.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about, because I'm a Canadian fan and I'm 62 years old. And I, when I was a boy, my parents brought me and my siblings up to Canada because my sister was in college up there in Montreal. And we went to the Canadiens game, and they played the Chicago Blackhawks at the Forum. And they had the most shots on goal in any game ever, but among both of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadiens won the game. It was like 50-something shots on goal. And it was, you remember Phil Esposito? It was,
oh, of
it was
course.
Never.
Now, where was the game? Where was the game played? Up at the Forum?
The Forum.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I never made it to the Forum. I always wanted to go to the Forum.
Oh, my God. That place was rocking. They loved it. Hockey up there. And I'm a hockey player, too, but what I used to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, Paul, but it's crazy. They love their hockey up there. And it was, I think they won 6-5, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadians over the Blackhawks. But it was Phil Esposito's brother.
Mm-hmm. Tony Esposito, yes, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, the Bruins, right, they had a hard time with Montreal for years and years. So I couldn't stand the Canadiens because the Canadiens were the team that we couldn't beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm laughing like that. I still love the Bruins. So, see, if my team doesn't get there, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan,
mm-hmm.
Cincinnati Reds in baseball, and Montreal Canadiens. But if my team don't get there, I go for the home team.
Right, so the Patriots are back in action tonight. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Well, it's only exhibition, but, tonight is the first exhibition game. It can be heard right here on WBSM. The kickoff is at 7 p.m. Can you believe that? Carolina Panthers.
I'll tie that in. So, what was your subject today? Did you have a subject already?
Well, the last time I was on, I had someone complain that everywhere you go, you smell marijuana. People smoke marijuana in public. They're not supposed to. They're not supposed to. You're supposed to smoke it in your own home. What do you think about that? Do you smell it everywhere you go?
I smoked pot when I was a kid. I'm 62. I'm almost 63 now.
but do you smell it when you're walking around New Bedford?
Oh, dear Lord. And you know, my father, Mr. Goldrick at New Bedford High School.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Gold House. I'm Mac Goldrick.
Okay.
His son. Yeah, and he didn't like when I smoked pot. I didn't smoke that long, mm-hmm. but I went to Haven schools. But
so does that bother you when you're walking around and you can smell it? Because it's illegal. You're not supposed to smoke it in public.
I come out of my house sometimes. I say, "Gee, I smell a skunk," and there's someone sitting there and say, "That's not a skunk." And what is it then?
So you think we should have the police telling people to put it out?
Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. It shouldn't be. Let me give you a good example. When I was a kid, I smoked it here and there. But when I was an adult one time, I smoked a little bit. I was just amongst people, and I drove my car. And I was going up Mill Street, okay? I'm going towards Rockdale Avenue. And I went right through. Back then, there's a light there now. There was a stop sign then. I went right through it. So that is dangerous to smoke marijuana.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yes.
So, that's proof right there.
Yeah.
And I've never smoked it since.
well, I got to go to a break, but, you know, thank you for the call. And by the way, your dad was a tough customer there as the, you know, your dad was considered a tough customer as far as being the,
I'm looking forward to call you back.
All right.
Bye, guys.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, Mr. Goldrick, he was a very tough customer. He was tough on people who were not behaving, and he was the house master of the Gold House. And anybody that's in my age group remembers that very well. I'm about the same age as that caller in my early 60s, and I never had any problem because I followed the rules. But Mr. Goldrick, he was tough. We'll be right back. it leaking out what kind of music I like? I'm an old-time club DJ, baby. Cool and the Gang, got to see those guys in concert a couple of times, along with Tavares and Casey and the Sunshine Band and a lot of those classics from back in the 70s and the 80s. I also saw Queen and trying to think if I saw Aerosmith. I believe I did see Aerosmith. I saw Jethro Tull, so I did see some rock bands too. But definitely like that dance music and figured that maybe at this hour of the morning that would be the kind of music that would wake you up. Cool and the Gang and Get Down on It. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. If you'd like to give me a call and say good morning and talk about any of the subjects that I brought up, of course, the number, you know it. It's 508-996-0500. Does it bother you that people are walking around smoking marijuana? It is illegal to smoke marijuana in public. Massachusetts has made possession of small amounts of marijuana legal. You are allowed to grow a small amount in your own home. You are allowed to possess a certain amount and smoke it in your own home, but you're not allowed to walk down the street smoking marijuana. But yet, people kind of brazenly just walk down the street and smoke marijuana. You're not allowed to walk down the street drinking alcohol either, but I don't really see people walking down the street with open containers. That's illegal. You can be arrested and charged with possession of an open container and consuming alcohol in public and so forth. But I haven't really seen that so much, but I do smell marijuana all over the place. And does it bother you? Some people it does bother. And the reason why I'm bringing it up this morning is because when I filled in for Ken on Saturday, especially toward the tail end of the show, this became a hot topic. And so I figured, well, wait a minute, this only became a hot topic for about 45 minutes. I thought maybe I'd bring it up when I had a little more time, see if anybody wants to talk about it. Now, maybe too early in the morning to talk about marijuana. I don't know. I don't know if people smoke marijuana in the morning or at night. I would think more at night, at the end of the day, not at the beginning of the day. If you have to wake up first thing in the morning and have marijuana, that's probably not a good thing. But that last caller, Max Goldrick, that called up before, he did bring up a very important subject, and that is operating a motor vehicle under the influence of marijuana. It is much easier to prosecute operating under the influence of alcohol, because what generally happens is a police officer will pull a car over for whatever reason, whether the vehicle is weaving or whether there was a red light violation or whether there was a taillight out or a sticker or what have you, as long as it was a legal stop. The police officer would smell alcohol on the person, typically see the glassy eye, the slurred speech, have the person step out of the car, have the person do a field sobriety test, and then at that particular time come up with the opinion that the person was under the influence of alcohol. Now, with marijuana, you could say, well, why don't they do the same thing? Well, it's a little bit different with marijuana because it's much more difficult to have the officer give that opinion. Even though the person may smell of marijuana, the person doesn't have any odor on their breath. So if their clothes smell like marijuana or there's just an odor of marijuana, you can't tell when it was consumed. Whereas a person who smells of alcohol, the officer can at least create a reasonable inference that the person recently had alcohol. But it is easier to prove. Trust me when I tell you that. So perhaps there ought to be some way to determine if someone's under the influence of marijuana. I mean, you have the breathalyzer in the alcohol situations. You do not have that in the marijuana situation. So if it becomes an issue, there must be some way to be able to check someone to see if they're under the influence of marijuana. So that would be an issue that I think probably could be confronted. Hey, it's Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. It is 6:50 in the morning. It is 63 degrees outside. Temperatures will be up in the mid-70s today. Going to be a mixture of clouds and sun. Kind of rainy tomorrow. Kind of showery on Saturday. But then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the sunshine returns. People walking around smoking marijuana in public. And the reason why I'm asking that is because when I filled in on the weekend, this became a hot topic. People were complaining that people were kind of walking down the street and everywhere you went, you smell marijuana. Hey, look, that guy's smoking dope. Nobody's doing anything about it. I don't really think it bothers me. It doesn't bother me. I didn't really care. Walking down the street, you kind of smell it. Some people think the newer marijuana and some of the marijuana that you have out there smells like skunk. My wife said, that smells like skunk. I'm like, I don't think that smells like skunk. I mean, it affects everybody differently. But should we be a little bit more aggressive about saying, hey, wait a minute, you shouldn't be doing that. You can't walk down the street with an open container. We had this whole thing on the nip ban controversy. We don't want to have people consuming alcohol and drinking out of those nips. We don't want people smoking marijuana in public, do we? It doesn't really bother me personally, but I'm wondering if it bothers you, because it definitely bothered some people when I filled in on Saturday. And this kind of ties in with the happy hour. You know, Massachusetts, really the only state left that doesn't have the happy hour. And so my thought on that was, well, you bring back the happy hour, does that encourage people to drink more? Does it encourage people to have more alcohol when they ordinarily wouldn't have? They interviewed somebody in Boston, and they were talking about up in the North End that back in the 80s, everybody was getting half-price drinks, and it was like $3, but at that time, $3 was $8, so everybody would like pile in to the establishment. And there were other people, other restaurant owners that said, well, they didn't feel like it really helped them that much, because by cutting the drink prices so low, their profit margins went so far down, most of the money they make is on the alcohol, not the dinner. So it actually didn't help them anyway. But the lawmakers had until midnight on Thursday to decide whether or not to let the cities and towns bring the happy hour back. But as of Thursday morning, the amendment has died for now. So what do you think about that? Was that a mistake? Should Massachusetts bring back the happy hour? I know when I go to Florida, they do it. You have the happy hour. Nobody seems to concern themselves too much by it. I know one caller we had on Saturday said, you know what? That's just a method that a business has to get people off the couch and into their establishment so they'll have dinner and have a drink with dinner. They ordinarily wouldn't come out unless you are allowed to give them that deal. And why shouldn't a private business be able to do that? Well, as you know, we always have that argument between the decision of a private business and what's for the common good. And sometimes it's better for each individual business to make that decision, and sometimes it's for the common good that you make a decision. Like when they stopped smoking inside of restaurants because the smoke was actually hurting people that don't even smoke. So now you're interfering with somebody else's rights when you're executing your rights. And then it becomes, okay, what's more important, protecting somebody that doesn't smoke from lung disease, even though you're exercising your right to smoke? What about the seatbelt law, right? Somebody said, that's my freedom if I don't want to put the seatbelt on. Well, number one, we're protecting you from yourself. Number two, highway deaths will drop by like 20%. And number three, if you get into an accident and you fly through your window like a missile and land on my dashboard, that could hurt me too. So again, sometimes the common good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.